In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we are in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, and we're picking up in verse 13. What we've seen in this chapter is that God put the Israelites to a test. And the test was they were hungry and they wanted meat and bread. And so they complained against Moses and they were rebuked because complaining against their leaders for something the leaders had no control over is complaining against God. And so God responds with patience and provision. And now we're coming to where he is going to deliver on his promise. Let's pick up at verse 13 of chapter 16. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons, and let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's needs. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it until morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. Now this is that famous bread from heaven scene. Now the quails is how God delivered meat, and he'll do this again, but next time they complain about quails, God will really bring judgment. But this isn't that scene. Now, the evening time, the quails came up and covered the camp. So now they've got all this easy meat, and they were satisfied. Now, in the morning, they wake up, and the surface of the wilderness, they see this small, round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And they begin to gather it, and there's nothing left over. Those who gather little, they still didn't have lack. So God meets each individual family need. One by one, they are taken care of. And we're talking 1 to 3 million people. This is an amazing provision by God. All needs are met by God, and yet there was still hoarding, wasn't there? Out of greed or fear, which was rewarded with worms and stench, which is the term for rancid. It's a really terrible smell. And an angry Moses. Now, this is really important to point out, because isn't this part of the problem of the hearts? God provides for us. And we either become greedy, wanting more, or we become fearful, afraid that somehow what we have we're going to lose. And these two fences, these two rails on left and the right, greed and fear, drive so much of what we do. And this creates discontent. This leads to complaining. And this leads to dissatisfaction and leads to sin. What's interesting, too, in this passage is that God is making them work. They work in the morning before the sun became hot and melted the day's provisions not gathered. So God was saying, you need to get up and you need to get to work and you need to get this done before it's hot. By doing this in the morning, he's actually showing them not only how to work, but also being smart while you work, because that midday sun in the wilderness, in the desert, is hot. And so God's being sensitive and saying, look, take care of this. The work he had for them was not too much and not too little. It's a beautiful picture of God disciplining his children so they understand a good work ethic and that they can become responsible to take care of themselves. All right, now we come to Exodus 16, verses 22 through 30, and we're going to be introduced to the Sabbath rest. Let's continue reading. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And then they said to him, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains, to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded. And it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the rulers of the congregation are confused, and they question Moses, "Why do we have double provisions on the sixth day?" And then Moses lets them know that they're permitted to let the extra remain overnight, and it won't become worms and rancid. It won't stink. And in spite of this, on the seventh day, there are some who still went out looking for manna. And God revealed his displeasure to Moses. Now, I should make a point here that notice that God did not strike anyone down. He did not ask the Moses and the leaders to stone someone for breaking the Sabbath. So he introduces this Sabbath and in a sense gives them some time to learn the law, learn to trust God so that they will obey later when the law is enforced, that they'll be punished for being out on the Sabbath. Now, what are the Sabbath instructions? Bake today implied do not bake tomorrow. Boil today implied you do not boil tomorrow. So you're doing the work on the sixth day. The implication is no work, rest. Lay up all that remains. It's okay to store leftovers. And remain in your place. Do not go out of his place, which means this is a family time. This is a time for mom and dad to gather with the children, for relatives to be together, for people to enjoy fellowship with the Lord and one another. And this is one of the major purposes of the Sabbath rest, to reflect on God's provisions and family. And this is something that we've just lost today in our busy society. We really need to make an effort, be intentional to spend time with family and just simply enjoy fellowship and food. It's a beautiful picture, and it really is preparing us for that future day in the new heavens and new earth where all we will do is rest in the Lord and fellowship with one another and enjoy a sin-free environment. Now, there are some key passages on the Sabbath. Genesis 2:3, and this is what everything is modeled after. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, the biblical term for rest means he ceased from creating. Exodus 20:8-11 in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And in Exodus 23:12, 6 days you shall do your work and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. So this Sabbath is going to extend to not only Israel, but strangers, and even to the animals. God knows that we need a rest. It's a beautiful picture of a loving father recognizing the limitations of fallen man. Now, as I said earlier, do we celebrate the Sabbath? No, we don't have such a law. First, our spiritual rest is in Christ, and our physical rest is now a stewardship. So if you choose to rest on a different day, you can. The key, though, is make sure you are taking time to fellowship, to rest with family and friends. This is a special reminder as we come near the end here. Verse 31, and this is pretty neat, some details on the manna. And the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded, fill an omer with it, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Now manna, here is where the bread is named for the first time. And you may be shocked to find out that in Hebrew, it literally means, what is it? So when they ask the question, what is it? That what is what manna is called. So very creative naming here for the manna. Now, this pot or jar or bottle, they're to save an omer. It's future generation proof that God fed you and proof that God delivered you. And they're laid up before the testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, that is. And eventually this would make it into the Holy of Holies. Now, what's interesting is Hebrews, the author, gives us insight into this scene. Hebrews 9:4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that had budded and all the tablets of the covenant. So what we discover is this was a golden pot that stored the manna. Revelation 2:17, interestingly, says this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give him some of the hidden manna to eat. So this picture of manna is going to be revealed in a different way in the future. Now, we know from this text that after 40 years, manna will stop, and it'll stop on the day that they eat food in the promised land. Verse 12 of Joshua chapter 5, and the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Now, I'm going to read to you Psalm 78. It's a little bit longer, verses 17 through 33. That kind of reflects on this passage. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna on them to eat and gave them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by a power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while the food was stuck in their mouth, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. The bottom line here is, how do you respond to the provisions of God? May you this week thank God for his provisions and have a grateful heart regardless of the circumstances you're in. I pray that you will do this and grow in God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.